Jayom Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraj Gacharya Ashtotarashtata Shishimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Shila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Sat Goswami Prabhu Ki Nama Acharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Prince Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Mathura Dhama Ki Sri Majapur Navadvip Dhama Ki Purushottam Kshetra Sri Jagannath Puri Dhama Ki Ganga Mayi Yamuna Mayi Ki Bhakti Devi Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Their most beautiful lordship Shishi Kishore Kishori Ki Paramakaruna, their most merciful lordship Shishi Gauranitai Ki Their most merciful lordship Sri Jagannath Sri Baladev Shrimati Subhadra Maharani Ki Sri Harinam Sankirtan Jagya Ki Garantara Shimam Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi Oh glories to the assembled devotees Oh glories to the assembled devotees Oh glories to the assembled devotees Oh glories to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga Shimate Rupa Swami
The speed of our spiritual master
The only way by which you can attain to pure devotional service. Bow down to his lotus feet, we get awe and reverence. By his grace, one can cross the ocean of material suffering and obtain the mercy of Krishna. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the grace of the Maitreya from his lotus feet. Attachment to his lotus feet is a perfection of pure consciousness. Our spiritual master is the ocean of mercy, friend of the poor and Lord master of the world. Be merciful unto us.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Gopijana Vahava Girivardhari Jai Gopijana Vahava Girivardhari Ya Yashodanandana Vrajajanaranjana. Yashodanandana Vrajajanaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Prabhupada ki Gantara Shiva Bhagavatam ki Shishi Kishore Kishori ki Tai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
On the computer, you go. On the internet application, and the Narayanam namaskrityam, naram chaivam narottamam, devim sarasvatim vyasam, tato jayam adhiraye, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, nityam bhagavata sevaya, bhagavati uttama shloke, bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto. Chapter 18, text 23. Yayatir anabhi pretam Daivo partam atmanaha Manastu tadgatam buddhva Pratija graha tadvachaha Yayatir anabhi pretam Daivo paritam atmana Manastu tadgatam buddhva Pratija graha tadvachaha Yayatir anabhi pretam Devo partam atmana Manastu tadgatam buddhva Pratijagraha tadvachaha. Yayatir anabhi pecham Devo paritamatmanah. Manastu tadgatam budva. Prati jagraha tadvachaha. Yayati anabi petram. Devo paritam atmanah. Manastu tadgatam budva. Pati jagraha tadvachaha. Yayati king yayati anavipetam, not liked, deva uparitam, brought about by providential arrangements. Atmanaha, his personal interest. Manaha, mind. To, however, tatgatam, being attracted to her. Budva, by such intelligence. Pratijagaha, accepted. Tatvachaha, the words of Devayani. Translation and purport. This divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami continued, because such a marriage is not sanctioned by regular scriptures, King Yayati did not like it. But because it was arranged by providence, and because he was attracted by Devayani's beauty, he accepted her request. Purport. According to the Vedic system, the parents would consider the horoscopes of the boy and girl who were to be married. If, according to astrological calculations, the boy and girl were compatible in every respect, the match was called yotaka, and the marriage would be accepted. Even 50 years ago, this system was current in Hindu society. Regardless of the affluence of the boy or the personal beauty of the girl, without this astrological compatibility, the marriage would not take place. A person is born in one of three categories, known as Devagana, Manushyagana, and Rakshasagana. In different parts of the universe, there are demigods and demons. And in human society, also, some people resemble demigods, whereas others resemble demons. If according to astrological calculations there was conflict between a godly and a demoniac nature, the marriage would not take place. Similarly, there were calculations of pratiloma and anuloma. The central idea is that if the boy and girl were on an equal level, the marriage would be happy, whereas inequality would lead to unhappiness. Because care is no longer taken in marriage, we now find many divorces. Indeed, divorce has now become a common affair. Although formerly one's marriage would continue lifelong, and the affection between husband and wife was so great that the wife would voluntarily die when her husband died, or would remain a faithful widow throughout her entire life. Now, of course, this is no longer possible, for human society has fallen to the level of animal society. Marriage now takes place simply by agreement. Dampatye biruchir hetu. Bhagavatam 12:2-3. The word abiruchi means agreement. If the boy and girl simply agree to marry, the marriage takes place. But when the Vedic system is not rigidly observed, marriage frequently ends in divorce. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Rupa Swami Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini. Hare Krishna. Try to share some thoughts that I've had when thinking of this verse. Probably nothing new that you guys know, is you're all senior to me, but I'll take it as a service to try and speak, and so we can discuss the Bhagavatam together. This verse is mostly speaking about the Vedic way of marriage. So it's described in detail how, according to the Vedic system, that people were arranged for marriage, boys and girls, according to their would read their astrological calculations and see if they were fit matches according to their level of, it said in this verse, like their godliness or demonic mentality. So according to this, if they were on an equal level in this regard, then they were seen as a good match, and this was seen through their astrological charts. So, and it's compared to this current time where people, at the end of the purport, is described a verse from the Bhagavatam that boys and girls simply agree to marry based on their agreement. They just agree to do it themselves, and there's not this in-depth understanding of the personal nature of each individual and the whole cultural support of their families, who support and give their blessings and for the success of their marriage. So then it just comes down to two individuals who agreed to join together, and they're on their own basically without the support of all the Vedic instructions, and said that it frequently ends in divorce, that we see that most people aren't able to maintain this marriage or this commitment without this very systematic way of arranging people to join together for such a long commitment in life. I wanted to speak a little bit about just going off what Nityananda Pranprabhu was speaking about on Sunday. He was speaking about a few principles of Dharma from the Ramayana. Just the principle of Dharma in general. I was giving a class at a yoga studio yesterday about Dharma, and I shared my understanding of Dharma. The word dhar means to hold, like in the name I've been given, Giri Dhari. So dhar is there in Dharma. So dhar means to hold. And so the principles of Dharma are like the laws that hold society together. So like the three principles that Nityananda Prabhu spoke about were so the first one was false speech. So speaking anything that you're not able to follow through with, or anything that is not true. The second one was coveting someone else's wife. And the third one was committing violence against innocent beings. And I found these principles are really similar to like some of the Ten Commandments of Christianity, which is pretty interesting. How Srila Prabhupada often would say that like to Christians to just simply follow those commandments, and he would even recognize the Bible, the injunctions of the Bible, as Shastric, and he would say to follow these principles. So it's interesting how even within Christianity there is these principles of Dharma. So we can see that even in American culture, they're even in the recent history, they're following the process of Christianity pretty strongly. Like just before my parents' generation, they're like, my parents are like 50, so they were raised in like the 70s and 80s, and just before that, my grandparents' generation, they were strictly Christian, and the principles of marriage were very strong at that time. There's like my grandparents today, they're still married, but they fight like anything, like every all the time, but they're still married. They didn't give up. Because they have a strong commitment to the vow and the religion, they still go to church every day. I actually went to church with my grandparents, a Catholic church, this past weekend, and the Catholic priest was speaking about the erosion of culture. It was on Thanksgiving, so he was speaking about how Thanksgiving has become just about turkeys and eating turkey and watching football. So he was speaking about the importance of the duty of the Catholic Church to maintain culture. He said that it's their responsibility in the culture to maintain a sense of like spirituality within the culture and a sense of morality. So he's speaking about the erosion of what's going on, where people are just taking it as something like you just eat and watch football. So he was speaking about, he made the observation of the erosion of culture, which we're seeing. it seems, as also reflecting on this, the culture of irreligion, like going against the religious principles, there's something like attractive about it. There's something like exciting or thrilling about breaking the laws of religion. So like the young people, they like to revolt against these principles of religion. They think there's this idea that this ancient system of like arranged marriage is like totally against their free will and their freedom. And so they take this great excitement about choosing their own marriage or living a life that they want to live rather than this orthodox way of living. And just sinful activity in general has this like excitement about it, because it's so much in the mode of passion and ignorance. There's like this thrill that you're gonna get away with doing something like stealing or gambling or anything, crime. There's like this rush, this adrenaline rush that people get, and that there's like this quick little weird high and excitement that comes. But over time, this lifestyle, although it's like exciting, everything is destroyed in time by breaking the principles of religion. All things that are valuable, like personal relationships and family, even just in the material world, things that are valuable are destroyed by breaking these principles of religion. And people who, it's just in this verse, it's saying that young people who just agree to get married based on their excitement, based on their attraction, it's unlikely that they'll be able to maintain such a commitment. So the Vedic system and the laws of Dharma are in the mode of goodness. So it's like, it seems kind of like not exciting, kind of like not so thrilling, or almost like dry. Like, I have to follow what my parents say to marry someone that I might not really like right now, or I can't engage in any of these activities that are going on around me. So it seems like restricting or unexciting. But that's why devotional service is really, we have to find the higher taste in devotional service, not just following the principles of Dharma just for the sake of ritual. But when we find like the reason behind Dharma, the reason behind Dharma is to approach Krishna and to regain this all blissful life, like eternal life and blissful life. When we when we get a little bit of a glimpse of that higher taste and the happiness that comes from living a life in accordance with Krishna and with the laws of nature, we can see that in the long run it'll bring us great happiness. Whereas people who enjoy like this and they revolt against the principles of Dharma, they get maybe some excitement in their 20s and 30s, but when it comes to old age, they're completely distraught because they haven't cultivated their consciousness and understanding of the next life. So then after the enjoyment is over, they've broken all these principles, then all this regret and remorse and karmic reactions come, and they don't know where they're going next life because they're afraid of what they've done in their past. So this is the principle of acting in the mode of passion and ignorance against Vedic injunctions, that there's that thrill, there's that excitement. It seems like nectar in the beginning, but then afterwards it comes around as poison. Whereas someone who follows the laws of Dharma, it seems like it seems like it's boring or austere, but especially following the principles of Dharma in relation to directly to Krishna, and when we follow that for our whole lifetime, then we get the ultimate benefit of knowing that we're going in the right direction, and when our bodies are growing older and we're having to move on, then we have this reassurance that we've lived a life of Dharma, and we have so much going for us, even though our material situation is coming to a close, that we have such deep reassurance. So that's the nectar at the end of living a life according to Dharma. So I watched a movie with my parents, unfortunately. It was this comedy movie. It was really degraded comedy movie that was like glorifying irreligious activity, basically. These people, they lost a bunch of money, so they couldn't send their kid to college. So then they came up with this plan to make a bunch of money really quick to send their kid to school. So they started like an illegal gambling house in their basement, like in their friend's basement or something. And then like very like soon the plot comes where they started this and then they got into it, and then very soon their character became degraded. They became like a mafia, even though they were like soccer moms and like soccer mom and dad, like these innocent suburban people, but then they became like the mafia of the suburb where everyone started coming to their gambling. house, and quickly everything degraded. But there was like, in the movie, there was like this excitement. Oh, like they were kind of becoming like thrilling on like criminals, basically. So just reinsures that there's there's this attraction to sinful activity, but that sinful activity, ultimately everything collapsed on them. They were breaking so many laws, they got into so much trouble and danger, and they almost died a bunch of times, and their whole family was like at risk because they did this, and everything gets destroyed in time when these principles are broken. This was the main principle they were breaking, even was just gambling. And oftentimes we think of the other principles as like more severe, like, oh, he just went and gambled. It's like, okay, you know, I mean, it's we don't necessarily think of it as like the most like sinful thing generally. Most people in America, it's just like something they do, but even that, it just destroys culture, a culture based on gambling. It just leads to destruction, and everything that we hold that is valuable becomes destroyed. So people are watching movies about sinful activity that's glorifying sinful activity, because there's this excitement, there's like this nectar that comes in the beginning, so then they can experience it through watching these movies. They get a little bit of excitement from watching, like a thrill of watching a movie based on sinful activity, and then but in the long run, there's no real happiness that comes. There's no benefit to watching these movies or engaging, especially no benefit in engaging in such activities. So this is just some thoughts on where culture is at, where the modern American culture is at, and how much they don't know about the scientific nature of the Vedic scriptures, how precise it is, like in this marriage, like doing marriage based on astrology and the laws of karma, and how intricate it is if you transgress the laws of Dharma, how direct it causes difficulty. And it's a law, just like Prabhupada often speaks about how, like, if someone breaks the laws within a country, even if they don't know the laws, there's still punishment. So even if someone doesn't know these laws of Dharma, they're there and they act. So that's the benefit of studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada's purports is that we can get a good sense of the laws of Dharma, and just by following even the four regulative principles pretty much puts us above sinful activity. Doing our best to follow those, and reading the scriptures really puts us in line. And then also, our only hope really is also performance of Sankirtan too, because the quality of culture is so degraded in Kali Yuga that there's so many faults that it's difficult to ultimately reproduce the Vedic culture. But we can perform Sankirtan, which is the ultimate benefit of Kali Yuga, is that by performing Sankirtan, we can easily achieve all perfection. So Prabhupada, I've heard two different things on Varnashram. establishing Varnashram Dharma. He, in the beginning of the movement, he often spoke about how it's impossible to establish Varnashram Dharma in Kali Yuga. Just hearing and chanting, and we'll go back to Godhead. But then later on, he spoke about the need and the importance of establishing Varnashram Dharma, and he said, called it 50% of his mission. And oftentimes, in his direct instructions, like establishing gurukuls and telling people to get married, indirectly he was establishing the principles of Varnashram the whole time. But to actually completely reenact, or not reenact, but establish the culture of Vedic cultures, it's very difficult in Kali Yuga. But if we perform Sankirtan, then we can make our way and make a lot of spiritual advancement, even if the cultural support isn't there. So against all the odds of Kali Yuga, we can still engage in the Sankirtan Yajna and gain so much benefit. So this is pretty much all I have to say, even though it's kind of a short class, but I'm not sure if you'd like to add anything to the discussion.
Thank you, Giridhari Prabhu. I was just thinking while hearing the purport of Srila Prabhupada and sort of recollecting on just personal experience or witness, how this arrangement of marriage through astrology and through following, you know, the charts and matching business, because we worked with kids through a good part of our spiritual life, my wife and I, we saw them grow and then we saw them marry, and we went through the parents, some of the parents making arrangements, and some of them didn't result in a very positive result, but it didn't have a positive result. Actually ended being divorce or separation or some situation that was not good for the devotee, child or youth, you know, who is married. And one of the things that we observe is that the actual purpose or the concentration or the main focus of the arrangement was the material situation. And there were, as you know, the parents, especially the Indian parents, becomes the ones who are traditional. They want to arrange the marriage of the children. They, you know, is in their culture, and it's accepted. And the kids also sort of accepted it too, many of them. And in their anxiety, they're asking their spiritual master. They're looking all over. And then we observe situations in which the spiritual master recommends a nice devotee, and the parents reject that in favor of some person that not a devotee, you know, Indian, sort of pious, you know, at least externally, but focusing on the material situation. So the whole thing is twisted, even within the culture, because as you point out is not Kali Yuga. The influence of Kali Yuga is it permeates, you know, even what is there traditionally within, you know, what is left of Vedic culture. And the result is the same. Is situations of abuse, of incompatibility, you know, like that. So it becomes, you know, what Prabhupada gave us makes it very graphic. You know, we see when we deviate to give too much focus to the material situation, then the results won't be the desired result, which will be a, you know, progressive devotional result. And we see that in many situations, you know, on the parenting. Right now, so much focus is on the material education and not so much focus on the spiritual education. You know, there is this rush to actually have the kids being very well situated materially for the well-being of their, you know, future life, to the extent of sacrificing the quality of the spiritual education. So even, you know, in the community of devotees, and we see that, you know, that's why the strong Vanashram institution is necessary. And as you say, the solution that Prabhupada gave us is, you know, is in their purposes, in the purposes of ISKCON, is, you know, one is Harinam, that, you know, the broadcastings of the glories of the holy name. Another one is education, is to very systematically, you know, educate people in the teachings of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, and so on, proper establishing temples, printing and distributing books, like that. These are all the purposes, to be able to, you know, really establish that. So just a comment on your...
Thank you for sharing practical experience.
Thank you for your class, even though I wasn't here. Please forgive me for that, but maybe you could comment on some points. I mean, these points appear all the time, and maybe you could maybe elaborate on them. I would just like to comment on the last line that Prabhupada mentions in the purport. He says, marriage frequently ends in divorce. And one thing I appreciate about all relationships is that they're all like marriage, and we can see that a lot of times they end in divorce. Durvasamuni wanted to divorce Ambarish. The Hindus and Muslims wanted to divorce Haridas, and Hiranyakashipu wanted to divorce Prahlad. But the reason I appreciated the great saints is that their happiness wasn't dependent on marriage or divorce, honor, dishonor, because they always took shelter of Krishna. And the reason I appreciate, like in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivam prakritim ashritaha. The word ashritaha means shelter. In the material world, we can't expect everything to be blossoming like spring. Sometimes we want everyone to be perfect like spring, but it's the material world. Mostly it's like winter for everyone. Everyone's cold-blooded. And we see that the great souls, they always take shelter of Krishna, just like we take shelter in a building when it's cold outside. And so my question is that a lot of times people make you feel guilty if you get divorced. Oh, you're divorced, you should feel, you know, terrible about yourself. You know, your relationship didn't work out. Or if you don't have a proper education, if you don't have money. So what are some steps some people could do to, you know, that people take painkillers just to get off of this roller coaster material existence, you know, because things are not going away. People are mistreating me. I don't have the proper education. I don't have enough money. So therefore, you know, so what are some steps, you know, devotees whose happiness is dependent on you know, their circumstances, the weather being nice. Still, we hear it in the Bhagavad Gita repeatedly, but still, you know, people still, you know, take shelter of painkillers and pills and stuff just to get off this, you know. So I don't know how to rephrase the question. I think you understand what I mean, but maybe you could elaborate on some of those points a little bit.
Just the one thought that I had was in regards to Srila Prabhupada's instructions when his disciples, especially like when disciples fell down from the sannyas order of life, he always encouraged them to continue in the process of devotional service. He said, don't worry about your fall down, just get married and continue practicing. So that's one thing, like Subal Prabhu was mentioning, that we'll never there's so many faults in Kali Yuga due to I was going to speak about this point too, that like the beginning of Kali Yuga comes from the curse of Maharaj Parikshit, so the fall down of Brahminical culture. From that point, the whole culture has collapsed because the Brahminical qualification has collapsed. So, from that point of the collapse of Brahminical culture comes the fall down of everything, and slowly everything has just become completely degraded. So, the establishment of culture is very difficult to have. A culture of devotees who are just perfect, and their marriages all go perfectly, and everything is just right on point with the Vedic injunctions. It seems like it's basically impossible to do. But still, Prabhupada instructed us to do that, to strive for that order for our material lives, and to support the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I guess my feeling is like just to be extremely encouraging to everyone in this age of Kali, and not expect a perfect system on the outside or externally, but continue to just strive for the essence of chanting. Chanting and reading, because like you're saying, the circumstances will never be perfect, especially in Kali Yuga.
You reminded me of a story. I was to share a brief related story. I think I shared it before. You've heard it before. Sure. Where one Prabhupada disciple named Kamrindar, he helped Prabhupada a lot with the printing of Bhagavad Gita in Japan, the Dai Nippon or something publishing company. For sure, he did a lot of service for Prabhupada, but he left Krishna consciousness for 6 months. You could call it a fall down. I mean, we all fall down at every moment, but from an external point of view. So after 6 months, he came to Prabhupada again and said, I want to surrender at your lotus feet. And Prabhupada not only accepted him back, but he established him. Prabhupada needed some help with some GBC in India, and he had confidence in Karandas' leadership. So he established him, you know, after he came back to Krishna consciousness as a leader of GBC in India, and told all the other leaders to accept him back, and because he had confidence in his leadership. And I just appreciate that story because it shows the mercy of the spiritual master. So there's one quote that says, a true friend walks in when the rest of the world walks out. A true friend doesn't rub it in when you make a mistake, they rub it out. So that's what I appreciate about these pastimes. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. Hare Krishna.
We all have to endeavor to become like Srila Prabhupada. Strive for that high level of consciousness and its ability to make the best of everybody and inspire everybody to advance in Krishna consciousness. So amazing. The tendency is just to tear people apart when they make a mistake, especially when it's close to you, if you're closely dealing with your lifestyle or life duties, things like that. Just it's so easy just to be like unforgiving. So yeah, you have to strive to be like Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for sharing. Do you have something?
Talking about the I guess a form of entertainment that is illustrating in some sense the consequence of breaking an important principle of not gambling. It struck me that in some cultures, songs and, I mean, I don't know about movies, but certainly songs are used to convey like moral messages. And it's very odd in this particular culture that we reside in, there is very little in that department, be it through literature or movies or songs, where some sort of moral message is there. And what you were describing, because one is looking with the eyes of knowledge and the fact that one is following dharmic laws, then even being exposed to a movie that's made in this culture, one can actually appreciate it in terms of the, I guess, the graphic way that you were describing of the I guess degradation that happened to a family as a result of breaking a dharmic principle. So the only reason persons aren't benefiting when there is, you know, such a so-called form of entertainment that does have, you know, something educative, is because there isn't that basis of understanding that society, the necessity for society to be resting on what you pointed out, being held up by dharmic laws. So I was just reflecting on that based on your sharing exposure to some form of expression in this culture.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? Chaitanya Prabhu, any comments?
I was just thinking that, you know, Kali Yuga is so pathetic, you know. it's so repulsive, you know. And it seems so difficult to even convince one person, you know, to come to Krishna consciousness. I was thinking of Prabhupada and Allen Ginsberg, you know. Allen Ginsberg was saying, well, when I'm with you, Srila Prabhupada, everything's fine, but when I go out there, it just becomes totally chaotic. So I was just reflecting on that, you know. It's so disturbing, but 16 rounds in the four regular principles can, you know, get you through that. So that's what I'm, you know, I learned from that. Thank you.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Thai Gaur Premanam.